We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 16, entitled Jay and Vijay Cursed by the Sages, text number 19. Translation: Mystics and transcendentalists, by the mercy of the Lord, cross beyond nescience by ceasing all material desires. It is not possible, therefore, that the Supreme Lord can be favored by others. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki. Unless one is favored by the Supreme Lord, one cannot cross over the ocean of the nations of repeated birth and death. Here it is stated that yogis or mystics cross beyond nations by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. There are many kinds of mystics, such as the Karma Yogi, Jnana Yogi, Dhyana Yogi, and Bhakti Yogi. The Karmis particularly search after the favor of the demigods. The Jnanis want to become one with the Supreme Absolute Truth, and the Yogis are satisfied simply by partial vision of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Paramatma, and ultimately by oneness with Him. But the Bhaktas, the devotees, want to associate with the Supreme Personality of Godhead eternally and serve Him. It has already been admitted that the Lord is eternal, and those who want the favor of the Supreme Lord perpetually are also eternal. Therefore, yogis here means devotees. By the mercy of the Lord, devotees can easily pass beyond the nations of birth and death and attain eternal abode of the Lord. The Lord is therefore not in need of any of another's favor, because no one is equal to or greater than Him. Actually, everyone needs the favor of the Lord for successful understanding of his human mission. ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपगदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृन्द. हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे. भूदैर्महाद्भिर्यैमा पुरो विभु निर्मायशेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मकः स्वोऽलङ्कृशीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे. हरे कृष्ण. वि आर् इन् अ वेरि इण्ट्रेस्टिङ्ग् पास्ट् टैम् of great devotees of the Lord encountering with the Supreme Lord and having a wonderful conversation with Him. So if you try to recall a few verses before, the Lord was speaking, the Lord of Vaikuntha was speaking in a very beautiful, very wonderful way to His own servants, to the Kumaras, alongside with Jay and Vijay, his doorkeepers. So he understood that these Kumaras, these four young boys who were the great transcendentalists, they were great Brahmanas, and they got offended by the acts of Jay and Vijay. So to rectify the situation, the Lord Himself came in front of these four Kumaras and his doorkeepers. And the Lord told that, I take complete offense for the wrong things that have been performed by my servants. And he goes in great detail. He makes it very clear that how dear his devotees are for him. He loves his devotees so much. And if anyone offends his devotees, he will not tolerate. And interestingly enough, the Lord told that if my own hands offend my devotees or transgress any of the religious principles, then I am ready to lop off my own hands. I am ready to cut off my own hands. So this is the supreme etiquette manifested by the Lord of Vaikuntha Narayan. So he is speaking out of love. He is not making just a show of things. He is not just trying to make a point. Of course, whatever he speaks, it is instructional and it has to be followed. His breathing in itself is Vedas. So of course, whatever comes out from the Lord is completely instructional, and all his acts are instructional. At the same time, when he is making such statements that I am ready to take the dust from the lotus feet of my own devotees, I am ready to put it on my head, he is not just making a show. Rather, he is speaking out of love. We often say, you know, okay, I want to touch your feet, my dear devotee, I want to touch your feet. We want to take the dust from the devotee's feet. But most of the times, we do that just as a show off. How much really respect do we respect that devotee? Right? Often it happens, right? We want to, you know, Prabhu, I'll touch your feet. We'll take the remnants of the devotee's prasadam. Yes, we do that. It is a good step towards that. But how far do we feel love for that devotee? It's something we have to think. But the Lord, when he makes such a statement, he is completely meaning that. He's feeling love for his devotees. And he really wanted to rectify that situation. So in one sense, we can see the Lord is manifesting Vaishnava etiquette. But for him, it's very natural and it is coming spontaneously out of love for his devotees. Now, and the Lord says, if I take the dust from the feet of my devotees, and certainly everyone else would follow. So it is certainly instructional. It's mentioned in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, where the Lord himself makes a statement that I want to respect my devotees. I want to respect my devotees just by following in their footsteps. Ankrirendabhi. When they walk, I want to follow my devotees. And when the wind is carrying the dust from the feet of my devotees, that dust will go and it will actually decorate my forehead. So the Lord makes such statements, showing his affection to his devotees. Now, yes, and the Lord is speaking as if he were in need of mercy from his devotee. He doesn't need a favor for anyone. So here, the Kumaras are answering that question. Or, does the Lord need favor from anyone? As we know very clearly, we don't need any favor from anyone. But the non-devotees or semi-devotees, you know, when we are just coming to Krishna consciousness, we think, you know, the Lord needs help. If he tells some devotees, okay, can you please do this service? They think, you know, they are doing a favor for Krishna, a favor for the temple, favor for the devotees. It is not the case. The Lord doesn't need anything. We know thousands and millions of Lakshmis are worshipping the Lord. So he doesn't need anyone's favor. And the Kumaras, they made a very interesting statement a few verses before that it is very difficult to understand the intentions behind the Lord's speech. The Lord made very wonderful statements glorifying the devotees and apparently his dependency on his devotees. And the Kumara said, it is very difficult for us to understand the intention of the Supreme Lord. Who are Kumaras? They are manifesting the Jnana Shakti of the Supreme Lord. They are Shaktiavash incarnations of the Supreme Lord. Still they are mentioning, it is very difficult to understand the heart of the Supreme Lord. And now they are responding in this verse very clearly, says that the Supreme Lord can be, is it possible? It is not possible, therefore, that the Supreme Lord can be favored by others. It's not possible. Because in the purport, Srila Prabhupada explains this point that no one is equal to or greater than the Supreme Lord. So who can give favor to Krishna or Narayan, the Lord of Vaikuntha? It's not possible. No one can. However, we need the favor of the Lord. Actually, all the living entities need the favor of the Lord, whether they accept or not. Just like one of the reporters asked Srila Prabhupada, how many devotees, how many followers, how many devotees do you have? So Srila Prabhupada replied, actually all are the devotees of Krishna. The entire planet or the entire creation, all the living entities are devotees of Krishna. But Prabhupada said, some people accept and some people don't. That's the only difference. Everyone is actually a devotee. Some people accept, some people don't. That's the only thing. Now, when we talk about favor from the Lord, we may feel a bit alienated towards that expression. Getting favor from the Lord. First, we may feel the Lord is very distant from us. And we may feel, how can we get favor from the Lord? Pleasing the Lord, we often say, please the Lord. We often say, getting favor from the Lord. But we may think, am I really working towards that? Or even in this word in itself, is something out of my dictionary. Are we really meaning it? We can think in that way. But if we take the example of our material existence, we are constantly trying to get favor from others. See, at workplace, if anyone has worked, I have worked outside for a few years, and most of you must be working outside. Working in the work, we want to take the credit, right? We want to take the credit for working something. What we are trying to do, we are trying to actually getting favor from the boss. And we want to blame someone else. Right? Happens at work, yeah. There is a blame game. You know, if something is not working, we want to blame someone. We want to pass it on to someone. What are we trying to do? We are very good. We are doing pretty well and someone else is doing not good. The politics at work. Even the socialization at work. What is it meant for? It is meant for pleasing the boss. It is meant for getting the favor from the boss, right? So we are actually in tune getting favor from others. Think about the relationships. A relationship means we have to please one another. Of course, in the material world, that pleasing one another is based on sense gratification. So one has to please, one has to get favor in order to get sense gratification. And the material relations are broken when that sense gratification is terminated. So as far as the sense gratification go, that far the material relationship exists. After that, it actually vanishes. So this is the getting favor is it's not something which is unusual. It is there in this world. And the only thing is that we need to understand the same principle in connection to Krishna. As Srila Prabhupada said, we don't need to do anything, just add Krishna. So when we talk about pleasing the Lord, or when you're talking about getting favor of the Lord, we have to really think that how can we know this term and how can we apply in the devotional context. That's all. Then we can actually make our devotional service a personal experience rather than an impersonal experience. Many times we say, you know, we want to please the Lord or we want to get favor from the Lord. We are really being a bit impersonal. We don't really mean what it is. So when we really understand the science of Krishna consciousness, then we can actually mean it. And when we act upon that, we can realize what is it meant by pleasing the Supreme Lord, or what is it meant by getting favor from the Supreme Lord. We know here Srila Prabhupada gives the example of the karma yogis. Yeah, karma yogis, generally they are interested in pleasing the demigods. They know how to please the demigods. Because they can see that by which they can get some material benefits. I have seen in India some demigod worshippers, maybe demigod or maybe unclassified demigods, whoever it is. They make that particular lord, particular deity as their partner in the business. And they give, okay, 25% profit I'll give to him or her. And they do the business, and when they get the money, they religiously they go and they give the money. So they know, they understand very clearly what is it to be the partner, what is it to be getting the favor, because they know when the profit is doubled next year, then they understand, okay, we have got the favor, right? So this is material existence, this is karmis. They can gain everything, they can calculate everything in terms of the money, in terms of the facilities, so it's very easy. However, how about us? What about the devotees? Yes, we can also see the favor of the Supreme Lord. It is possible. We'll get to that. So that is the example given of the karmis who are after different demigods to get some material benedictions. We went to a temple recently, right? You know, we went to a temple recently just for the new year. You could see on the new year, everyone is there. You know, at least 1,500 cars are there parked. Everyone is ready to offer. They are ready to put the money in the hundi because they know the new year is coming and we want to get all the benefits of all the demigods. And they don't miss any of the demigods. Because this temple has all the demigods practically. If you go to travel around India and wherever you see all the demigods, everyone is placed at one in one, you know, big hall. So one can get mercy of everyone practically. So they don't want to miss out from anyone. So it's a, you know, one-stop shopping, the same principle. You go there, you do all the needful things and get the blessings for the entire year. And the blessings they can calculate. We cannot calculate. Devotees, how can we really calculate? We wonder, how can we calculate the blessings given by Krishna? And we wonder, am I really favored by Krishna at all? We think in this way. Whereas the demigod worshippers, they do calculation and they are very good at it. Because they can see their bank account, they can see their house, they can see their car. So they understand, okay, yeah, yeah. The Lord is very merciful because there is a direct correlation between the mercy and the material assets. Next is the Gyanis. Gyanis are a very interesting case. The interesting thing of Gyanis, they don't want the mercy of the Lord. A true Gyani doesn't need the mercy of the Lord. How about that? We talk about mercy in any Bhagavatam lecture, or if you talk to any devotees, in a decent conversation, the word mercy will come a few times. But when it comes to the Gyanis, they don't want any mercy of the Lord. They are practically the real Gyanis. The real Gyanis, they don't talk about mercy. Because they themselves are the Supreme Absolute Truth. So why do they need the mercy? You know, we can give mercy rather. Why do we need mercy? We can give mercy. So they don't really talk about the Kripa Shakti. So it is one reason why it is said that to make progress through the path of Gyan, it's very difficult because there is no access to the mercy of the Lord directly. Because they don't accept the mercy of the Lord. Because first of all, they don't accept that the Lord has multifarious energies. And when one denies the multifarious energies of the Supreme Lord, then one must deny Kripa Shakti also. The potency of Kripa, the potency of mercy, they have to deny that. So once they deny that, how could they be accessible to that mercy? So this is the position of Gyanis. So they don't want mercy. But of course, one may get to the impersonal liberation because if they accept the Lord, by accepting the Lord, they get a tinge of credit. That can really take them from their material contamination to the impersonal liberation. So that is that tinge of bhakti. One could say that it's not really bhakti, but it's the tinge of that. That is giving the elevation. But otherwise, one can think one is elevated, but Prabhupada says in the second chapter of 10th canto, Aruhya Grichena Param Padam Tada Padandiyato Anadra Dushmadankhraya. One may think one is elevated, one has already attained the supreme destination, but still, what happens? Patantyatha, they fall down. Anavrata yushmadankhraya, because they don't show respect to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, how much ever one thinks one is advanced, one has to fall down. That is guaranteed. So, this is the position of the Gyanis. Then, when we consider the Karmis, if you see, they get material benefit, we know it is temporary. And for the Gyanis, they don't want the mercy of the Lord because they don't accept the mercy of the Lord. And finally, when we come to the yogis, yogis are a very interesting category because yogis are interested in the partial expansion of the Supreme Lord as Paramatma. But generally what happens, even though they see the beautiful form of the Lord within the heart, still what happens? Prabhupada mentioned this purport. Ultimately, they also get attracted by the jyoti, by the effulgence emanating from the Lord, and they want to become one with the Supreme Lord. So this is the plight of yogis. So there are verses in Srimad Bhagavatam where it is mentioned, see this condition of the yogis. They could see the partial expansion of the Supreme Lord, the beautiful form of the Lord. We can see in the second canto of Srimad Bhagavatam the beautiful narration of the Paramatma feature of the Lord, how beautifully he is situated with the four-handed form, with Shankha Chakra and Gada Padma, and beautiful kirit. So he is so beautiful, so attractive, but ultimately even they can be swayed by this misconception. So Prabhupada mentioned in this purport that ultimately even yogis end up in becoming one with the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. And finally, bhaktas, the devotees, they want constant association of the Lord. They want to serve the Lord. They aspire for the association of the Lord. So, in one sense, they are associating with the Lord, even in separation, through their service. So, if we ask, The devotees, where is the favor for the devotees? Is there any favor for the devotees? See what service we are doing for Krishna. Are we chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? It is favor of the Supreme Lord. If you can see that we are serving the Lord, definitely it is favor of the Lord. It is mercy of the Lord. So we had to really see that. Okay, we had to. So when we come to the devotional platform, we cannot do the mathematics. We cannot do the arithmetic in terms of the mercy. That is, what is my bank balance? What is my material situation? We cannot come to that platform. But we need to get the transcendental knowledge where we can see that my service is the mercy. The opportunity, we have the association of the devotees. We have our sadhana and seva. That is our wealth. And whatever taste we develop in that, that is our eternal asset. That is our eternal asset. So actually, one's advancement can be checked very easily, can be verified very easily by oneself, seeing in one's own heart how much do we have material attachment and how much attraction do we have for Krishna. How much do we have attraction when we hear Krishna's name? Do we feel like, okay, I want to chant. Okay, it's a new day. I want to chant Krishna's name. This is the measure. So it is not necessarily just quantitative, but it's more qualitative. We feel. Everyone is chanting 16 notes at least, a minimum. So we can see, am I feeling like, okay, let me chant this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Let me chant 16 rounds nicely. Am I feeling any attraction for Krishna's holy name? So this is a test actually. It's a test. And if we can see that, we can see, okay, we are making some progress towards developing some attraction for Krishna. So here, in this verse, we can see that the Kumaras are making the statement that, you know, the Lord cannot be favored by anyone, but we need the favor of Krishna. And in our philosophy, we can see in the ninth canto that we can become favorite of the Supreme Lord by being a favorite devotee of our spiritual master, of an advanced devotee. Any of the advanced devotees of Srila Prabhupada. Like that. This is the pathway to get the mercy of the Lord. By getting the mercy of the devotees. So the Lord himself, the Lord of Vaikuntha, he says to Durvasa Muni, right? He says to Durvasa Muni, Bhaktosime Bhaktajana Priya. Devotees are very much attractive to me. And so are the devotees of my devotees. So those who have developed devotion for the devotees of the Lord, and meanwhile they are worshipping the Supreme Lord, they get the mercy of the Lord. So when we see, when we hear from, it's very interesting, when we hear from many of the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, we can see how much love do they have for Srila Prabhupada. Have anyone noticed? You hear any remembrance of Srila Prabhupada, we can see how much love do they have. We wonder, you know, how much attraction they have for Srila Prabhupada. So that attraction is sufficient to get the favor of the Supreme Lord. In South America, one of the older Matajis told Srila Prabhupada that at the time of death, if I remember you, is that sufficient? So Srila Prabhupada actually smiled and he said, that is sufficient. So Prabhupada is making this point that just by the mercy of a pure devotee, that is sufficient. One can return back to Godhead. We know this story of a devotee who dedicated his youth in serving Krishna for Srila Prabhupada. Means many years he spent in serving Krishna, but unfortunately he left the movement and he remained a vegetarian, but at the same time he didn't practice Krishna consciousness. And he was afflicted by a terminal cancer later on. And he had a girlfriend or a partner, whatever. And the lady was sitting next to him at the time of death. He was, you know, in the last moments of his death. And at that last stage, the lady asked this Prabhu, who is not practicing at this point, that I heard that you were a Hare Krishna before. So immediately the whole memory came back to him. He started saying, you know, yes, I was a Hare Krishna, I used to chant. Yeah, and he started glorifying Srila Prabhupada. Yeah, I used to be with Srila Prabhupada. And then at one point he said, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you are here? So he got a vision of Srila Prabhupada. And he left the world. And this lady, he went to the nearest temple and told this pastime that, you know. So this is the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. The pure devotees can give all the mercy. So we are in a very fortunate circumstance because we have a lot of pure devotees. A lot of advanced Vaishnavas in our movement who are completely dedicated in serving Srila Prabhupada. So when we follow in their footsteps, then we can get the mercy of that advanced devotees and we can get the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. So in Parampara, the mercy is increasing. As we go one by one down in the disciplic succession, we are getting more and more mercy. Actually, we are not going far, far away from Krishna. Rather, we are getting closer and closer from Krishna. Our material mind may not accept this, but that's the reality because we are getting mercy of one more layer of devotees. It's not that we are getting far away from Krishna. This is the mystery of Krishna consciousness. This is the mystery of disciplic succession. That we are, in one sense, we are moving away and away from Krishna, but at the same time, we are getting closer and closer to Krishna. We have direct access to Krishna. The devotee, we have our connection to spiritual master, we have our connection to the whole parampara, and at the same time, we have connection to Krishna as well. This is parampara, where we are getting connected to the Lord through the parampara. So one needs that. One needs to get connected officially to the spiritual master. One cannot avoid, one cannot say that, okay, I don't need a spiritual master. I don't need to get really initiated. Some devotees, it happens, after many years of practice, they think, okay, I'm going on, okay, I'm still chanting after, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, whatever years. So I don't need a spiritual master. Because even if I have a spiritual master, I'll be doing the same thing. So why do I need a spiritual master? Some devotees do ask this question. So the reality is that we need that connection, the official connection to the parampara. Then Krishna recognizes our service more seriously. Because we are accessing Krishna system. We are accepting Krishna system. So this is the importance of getting connected to the parampara. And here, as devotees, we need the constant mercy of the Lord. What is the first mercy that we need? We need to chant 16 rounds every day. 16 quality rounds. That is the first thing. This is the first service to our spiritual master and to Srila Prabhupada. Chanting 16 attentive rounds. Alongside with strictly following 4 regulative principles. This is the first service actually. We can consider it as seva or sadhana, but this is the first thing that we need to follow. That is chanting 16 rounds carefully. Kindu adarad anadinam khalu saivajeshta swadhi kramad bhavdi targada moolahantri. Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says, Kintu adarad. Adara has two meanings in one sense. Adara means with respect. And also Adara Srila Prabhupada translates that as carefully. Kintu adarat anudinam khalu saijushta. You place the holy name in the tongue every day carefully with all respect. Then what happened? Swadhu kramat bhavadi tatgata moolahantri. Then in due course of time, gradually one will develop taste for the holy name. So this is the, one has to be patient enough to do that. So this is our process. So now, we need constant mercy, and for that we need to engage in Krishna service all the time. And it is, practically speaking, we may wonder, how is it possible? But the process is gradual. In fact, one time, I think it was Hamsadutta Prabhu, he was in Germany, and he told Srila Prabhupada that my devotee or my men, or his party, was working around 16 or 17 hours a day, like a marathon. Every day to please Srila Prabhupada. Think about that, 16 hours. Can you think about 16 hours collection or book distribution? Even, you know, 6-7 hours you become completely tired. But they were working hard 14 to 16 hours a day. And they collected a huge sum of Lakshmi and offered that to Srila Prabhupada. And Hamsadutta Prabhu very nicely and a bit proudly told that, you know, my team is working, you know, so many hours a day. You know, what did Srila Prabhupada say? Prabhupada said, devotional service is 24 hours. The Prabhupada, as an acharya, is making the statement, what is the real standard? We may be very far away from that, but Prabhupada this state setting the standard. Okay, devotional service means continuous. And Prabhupada said, told it many times, 16 rounds is minimum. Many times Prabhupada said, 16 rounds is minimum. Actually, it is meant to chant all the time. But we, since we cannot, at least as a concession, you know, 64 became 32, 32 became 16. We know that pastime. Even Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur made a statement, one who doesn't chant 64 rounds a day is considered patita, fallen. So we are all fallen, practically speaking. There could be many, some of them chanting 64, but you know, we are all fallen. What to do? But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur also made the statement that for his devotees who are vigorously preaching, Bhaktisiddhanta told, you have to chant 16 rounds, that's sufficient. That is also there. So that's why we can see Srila Prabhupada, he came down to 16 rounds and then he said, okay, this is the minimum and no more reduction hereafter. So that is the 16 rounds of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. It is very important. And if we don't have the association of the devotees, then that will also not happen. In association of the devotees, only we chant 16 rounds. Otherwise, we will see how much of a chanter are we. You lose the association, then we see the quality of our chanting and eventually the quantity of our chanting. In fact, it happens to even the initiated devotees who do not take chanting seriously. It's just a matter of time. They may be nice people, they may be pious, they may be vegetarians, but chanting drops. 16 becomes 14, then to 8, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1. Then finally, when I get a chance, I chant one round here and there. It has happened to many devotees who are actually got initiated and who were serious. When they, as they lost the association, the whole thing happened. So don't think that it wouldn't happen to us. It happened to me one time. I was speaking to, I was with a very senior devotee. He was counseling another devotee and I happened to be there, you know, doing some worship. Then this devotee was telling, he struggles to chant. He's a nice person. He was struggling to chant 16 rounds. So I was hearing this, so, you know, immediately the thought came, oh, standing 16 rounds, it's not a big deal, right? You know, that's what we think, you know, if we are chanting 16 rounds in year after year, we think, standing 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Mahamantra, it's not difficult. So I started thinking that way, you know, yeah, it's not very difficult. Why is he struggling so much? He was walking, he was doing a job, and he was chanting. So immediately the senior devotee, out of mercy to me, he corrected me. He understood my thought process. Immediately he told me, yeah, if one loses the association, it can happen to anyone. I understood, yeah, this is very important. It is very instructive. Right? Anyone can, this can happen to anyone. It often happens if you go to India, stay with the family for a long enough time. We can see how much the quality is affected and eventually quantity also. So this is nobody's reminding of us of Krishna. Now we may criticize, oh, staying with the devotee is so difficult. He is criticizing me, or he is correcting me, or he is doing such and such thing. We may consider, oh, so not good. But because of that association, we are actually chanting. We have to understand that. Because of this association, we are actually still chanting. Otherwise, we won't even chant 16 rounds. This is our situation. So we have to appreciate that association. And we can, I'll try to narrate a small pastime in which how the devotees are constantly trying to serve Krishna. It is written in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Narada Muni is trying to find a devotee who has got the most mercy of Krishna. So he goes to many, many devotees, and at one point, Narada Muni get to the palace of Yudhishthira Maharaj, to Hastinapur. So Narada Muni was completely impressed with the Pandavas, because Pandavas are getting so much of association of the Supreme Lord. So Narada Muni thought, you know, they are the greatest devotees. So when he entered the palace, it's very interesting what Yudhishthira Maharaj was doing. There was a big meeting going on. It's a very confidential meeting. Yudhishthira Maharaj with his brothers, all the Pandavas and all the ministers, they were having a great discussion. And the discussion, the whole theme of discussion was how to get Krishna back to Hastinapur. That is the whole theme of discussion. So they were scheming various things. First, Bhimasen was telling, okay, we can tell that we are going to perform one Ashwamedha Yajna. So since we want to perform Ashwamedha Yagya, Krishna should come. So let's send a messenger to Dwaraka telling, okay, we have this Ashwamedha Yagya, please come. Then we can worship him in that way. Then they decide, thought, okay, no, it's not very practical because Krishna knows Ashwamedha Yagya means, you know, it's like a lot of paraphernalia is required and we will not be able to do that now. So this will not work. Next, they had another plan. They thought, okay, maybe we can inform Krishna that there's a threat from the neighboring kingdoms. So we can tell him, you know, for protection, oh Lord, kindly come. Like that, they were scheming one after another thing so that they can get the association of Krishna and they want to serve Krishna. So this is the caliber of the devotees like Pandavas. They were constantly thinking how to serve Krishna. And they were feeling great separation from the Lord. So this is the nature of the devotees. They want to serve Krishna. We can see the advanced devotees. When you get a chance, you observe the lifestyle of an advanced devotee. Maybe your spiritual master or any other great Vaishnava. You try to serve them and you try to observe their lifestyle. Then you can see how much are they dedicated in Krishna service. They are not wasting their time. You can see one after another they are engaged in Krishna service. They may be counseling some devotees, they may be chanting, they may be reading, they may be answering some emails. Constantly they are serving Krishna. It's very, very instructional to observe these great devotees. Just when they get a chance, if somebody is asking, okay Prabhu, do you have some time, spare time to serve? Such and such Maharaj is here or such and such senior devotee is here. Is there any time? Take that opportunity and see how they are conducting their life. It's very inspirational. I got some opportunities to serve devotees. I can see some of them, some great Vaishnavas, they take bath in 1-2 minutes. Just a minute or two, they have finished, they are ready. I'll tell the past time with the Bhanu Maharaj. Bhanu Maharaj, he was in the farm one time and he was doing an astrology retreat or something like that. And he got up. It was just a few minutes. He was ready and he started chanting. Means 2 or 3 minutes, you know, take bath, everything is just so fast. He's ready and sat and started chanting Hare Krishna in a very few minutes. Which we can't imagine practically. We take more time in the shower and other things. He was just so fast. They understood, you know, how much they are focused in their service. They want to chant. And I have got this opportunity when Maharaj is here, if I go to his room for anything, you know, to serve him or anything, he will be translating his books constantly. There is a 1 or 2 books here and his laptop is there. He's constantly translating. And he looks at you, or he may not be looking at you. He will ask, okay, so what do you want? So if he doesn't want to take his eyes from the laptop, he will not. And he will just answer the question. And if you need attention, of course, he will give the attention. But the point is, he was completely focused, completely attentive to the service. So I could see how much they are caring for the time. I have seen some other devotees also. They analyze what is the effective way of utilizing the time in Krishna service. And if they think that, okay, for example, there is a preaching program, it is going to be less effective. Rather, he wants to use his time in something else. He would say, if I come for that preaching program, my time will be less effectively utilized. So better I don't come, take someone else. This is how they are calculative about time. Actually, this is actually calculation of mercy. Because they want to do maximum service. And for that, they think, okay, we have limited time. So how to efficiently utilize that time? This is their meditation, avyartha kalatvam. We read in Nectar of Devotion as one of the characteristics of Bhava Bhakti, avyartha kalatvam means they don't want to waste the time at all. We can see in our own eyes how they are doing this. It's just amazing. Of course, when we are intensely engaged in Krishna service, we can also see, we also get a glimpse of that. If some project is there or something for Krishna or, you know, running a marathon, then we can see, you know, we are so busy, you know, doing so many things. Then we can see, okay, we don't have much time. We have to utilize all the time in service of Krishna. Because this is actually getting the favor of Krishna constantly. And it is very special because Srila Prabhupada, he gave that access of mercy to everyone. Especially we can see in this time of marathon, we just completed the marathon, book distribution marathon for Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada wanted to give mercy to everyone. Even those who didn't want it. That is the glory of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave mercy to everyone. He wants to give mercy to everyone all the time. It is mentioned, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mercy is such that, one, the conclusive truths which are hidden in the scriptures, it's mentioned in the mine of, it's the mine of scriptures. So many scriptures are there in the Vedic literature, and no one actually knows what is the conclusive truth, what is the essence of all the Vedic literature. But by the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one has direct access to that. It's mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamrita. Chaitanya Charitamrita is very interesting that each chapter, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presents the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, and in the first verse of each chapter, it is just like a gem. It's just like a jewel. Because he presents such an amazing realization in the first verse. And generally, these first verses are in Sanskrit. And rest, generally, it is in Bengali. But the first verse, generally, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami writes in Sanskrit, glorifying the mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And it is just far out. It's mentioned in the Adi Lida, Sri Chaitanya Prasadena, Tatrubasya Minirnayam, Balobi Kurude Shastram, Drishtva Vraja Vilasinaha. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even a boy, even a small kid, can say that the supreme absolute truth is Krishna, the enjoyer of pastimes of Braj. Even a kid can say that. Whereas the Vedic scholars, they cannot say what is the ultimate conclusion. It's like there was a big meeting in Mayapur. A lot of scholars came in front of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada asked these scholars, so what is the conclusion of all the Vedic scriptures? They unanimously said, we cannot say that. We don't know. They accepted, we don't know. Whereas a kid, you know, like Prabhupada always gives the example of the Saraswati, who was the first kid in ISKCON movement, and ask her, okay, who is God? So immediately she replies that Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you know, even a kid can know the ultimate conclusion of the, all the scriptures. So this is the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Srila Prabhupada is giving access for that to all. It's in fact, in the marathon, interesting, people, there can be opposition sometimes. I had two incidents, it was very interesting. One time I was in Colac, I was distributing a book. So there was a girl, you know, I asked her, she was studying nursing. I gave her a Bhagavad Gita and she was a bit interested, and I explained it a bit. I said, you know, you can help a lot of people because you are already caring for people, being a nurse or studying a nurse. So she took the book and she was, you know, she paid the money immediately. Just grandmother came and immediately told, you know, why are you buying these books? This religious book, don't buy this book. Give the book back. You know, she was pushing the book. Suddenly, you know, it was all of a sudden. Then this girl told that, you know, Nani, don't worry. You know, I'm not buying drugs. These books are not religious. I'm not buying drugs. Why are you worried? You know? And I just took off from there. After that, okay, thank you. After that, I took off from there. I didn't want to get into the problems. I just took off from there. I gave the book. And another time on Swanson Street, I stopped a boy. Probably he was, you know, maybe late teen. Gave the book. And, you know, finally, this is the moment when we asked for the donation, right? Took the book, very, you know, quite interested, took the book. And then asked for the donation. Then he was, you know, started searching the bag. I was standing here and this boy was standing here. Immediately his mother came in between, back to me and facing her son. Give that book back. Because at that moment, the donation, she also heard the donation. She was by the side, came in between and back towards me and, you know, writing. Oh, I was thinking, oh, what's going on? Give the book back. Immediately this boy told, you know, this book, at least this book is going to entertain me for some time. I'm going to give some donation to this man. I'm going to take this book. And he took the money and gave it to me. So I understood, oh, this is really, it is mercy of Krishna. So we can see how the mercy of Krishna works. You know, it's a mercy, it's nothing. We cannot do anything. It is just the mercy of the Lord. And Srila Prabhupada is giving that opportunity for the wider community. So that is a very important point we need to understand. All the services are on equal platform, right? We hear that. All the services to Krishna are absolute. At the same time, preaching is special. You know why? It is special, of course, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that those who give this knowledge to others, to the devotees, they are very, very dear to me. Apart from that, in preaching, there is one thing, we have to pray to Krishna. Say, for example, if you go to a kitchen and if you want to cut a potato, actually, if you take a knife and if you cut it, it is happening by the mercy of Krishna, right? Can anything move without the mercy of Krishna? Actually speaking, there has to be for doing anything, just chopping the veggies, we need the mercy of Krishna. But how many of us prays while going to kitchen and chopping the veggies? Krishna, kindly be merciful unto me so that I can chop these vegetables. Anyone has done that? It is important. Actually speaking, yes, that should be the real mood, but we don't do that. But in preaching, and especially in book distribution, we are forced to. Especially if you are walking around, and if the books are not going, and if you are trying hard, then what happens? We come to the platform of prayer. Then all the thoughts of sense gratification completely vanishes from our heart. We really call out for Krishna. Krishna, please do something. Right, so that is where we are put in a situation where we beg the mercy of the Lord. So that is the interesting thing about preaching, where we are positioned in a way that we ask for mercy. And if we are proud, we are smashed. One devotee was telling, he was feeling very proud because he distributed a lot of hard Bhagavad Gitas. Okay, hard Bhagavad Gitas. It's not so easy to distribute so many hard Bhagavad Gitas because of the size and because of the price. It's not very cheap. So the devotee distributed a lot of hard Bhagavad Gitas and he started feeling a bit proud. Means quite a bit proud. So one person, the next person, he took the book and he took the hard Bhagavad Gita and slapped on the cheek. How is that? How can one be proud in that situation? Right in front of the whole street, you know, one person is taking the Bhagavad Gita and slapping. He came back to the normal situation and again books started going. So this is the reality, you know. So one can see the direct reciprocation of the Lord in preaching. So yes, everyone has to preach. So it's a preaching movement. So we have our capacity, we have our strengths, but we need to put up our effort in preaching. So then we see Krishna is reciprocating. We can see direct vision of Krishna right in front of us because Krishna is showing his mercy. So the Mahaprabhu's movement is so magnanimous because he's giving mercy to everyone in one way or the other. Because people do not want anything. They have nothing to do with Krishna consciousness. Still they get a book. They get a book somehow or other. So that is mercy of the Lord. Because the whole instructions of Krishna is in their hand. Even if they are leaving the world, still at least they will get a human birth. If someone takes Bhagavad Gita from a devotee, at least one gets a human birth. Think about that. At least a human birth is guaranteed. We may not think when we are struggling or distributing books, but at least this is the glory of giving Prabhupada's books. They get at least a human birth. And some of them definitely will take up the process eventually. So we have to see how it works. And Mahaprabhu's mercy is so wonderful. There is a nice pastime regarding this in Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says how Mahaprabhu gave mercy to Govindat Patanayak in the Antilila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Govindat Patanayak was a tax collector and he was in the family of Ramananda Roy. You know, Bhavananda Roy, he had 5 sons. And they were all great devotees of Lord Chaitanya. So Govindat Patanayak, what he did was, one time he collected a lot of tax. And as a tax collector, his job is get the tax and pass it on to the government. But he took all this tax money and he spent all this money elsewhere. So he didn't use it properly. Then the king found out and his older son took charge of the situation. And he did one thing. He told, okay, Govindat Patanayaka, you will be punished for this act. So Govindat Patanayak told, okay, it's okay. I have done this mistake, but I have some 10 horses which are of very high breed and they will cost a lot. So you take this 10 horses and take that money for the horses and rest I can pay eventually. So this older son of the king was not very pleased with that. And he had already some problem with Govindat Patanayak. So what he did, he actually quoted a lesser price for the horses, and he went and complained to the king that Gopinath Patnaik, he's not a proper person. He gave some false allegation towards him, and then told that, okay, we have to punish him very severely. We have to take him to Changa. Changa means the person will be taken on a high platform, and down there are swords. So he'll be thrown on a sword so that the whole body will get pierced, and in that way he'll become dead. So the king said, okay, you do whatever means that you like, but exact the money as soon as possible. So the older son of king became very happy, and he arranged to kill Gopinath Patnaik. However, he's a great devotee of the Lord, and some devotees approached Mahaprabhu and told that, look at this, your great devotee is going to be executed. So Mahaprabhu asked why. So this devotee told that he has done this, he has taken the class, the taxes from the people, and he has since given the tax money to the government. Then Mahaprabhu told, okay, if he have used this money in an inappropriate way, then he deserves the punishment. What can I do? He deserves the punishment. Then after some time, so all the devotees became unhappy. What can we do? And then some other devotees came that the entire family is going to be punished. The entire family is going to be arrested because of the act of Gopinath Patnaik. So the Lord said, I cannot do anything because I am a beggar. I am a sannyasi and I have nothing to do with money. So only thing you can do is you can go, you can pray to Jagannath, because everything belongs to Lord Jagannath. The same time this happened, one messenger actually went to the king and told the king that King was Pratap Rudra. He told the king that he actually narrated the whole incident, that actually this devotee, he has actually agreed to give all the horses. At the same time, this your son has actually quoted a lower price. And what's the point in killing this person? Because by killing the person, you're not going to get any money. You can kill him, but you're not going to get any money. So what's the whole point in doing that? So the king thought, okay, I shouldn't have done this. So he told, okay, I'm going to absorb all the debt. So he asked Gopinath Patnaik to come and meet him. So Gopinath Patnaik approached the king, and king said, I am absorbing all the debts, and on top of that, I am going to double your salary. And also he awarded a silken cloth to cover the body. So then devotees became very happy, because on one side he has taken off the money from the government, and he was to be about to be killed, about to be executed, and now by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, even though he didn't show that explicitly, he got a promotion in his work, and he got double the salary, and also he got high recognition by giving him a silken dhoti. So, but devotees became very happy. Oh, this thing happened. Then Mahaprabhu took this opportunity, and Mahaprabhu said, I have to really deal with this, all these problems if I'm staying in Jagannath Puri. I'm going to go away from here. I'm going to go to Alalnath, because I don't want to get involved in all these kind of things. Because I am a sannyasi and I want to chant Krishna's names. I want to just chant and dance. And these devotees, they are coming to me and telling all these kind of problems. Now, okay, the problem got solved. But tomorrow what will happen? Tomorrow if he takes again the money, then what will happen? So I cannot get involved in all these kind of things. And I don't even want to hear any of these things. So Kashi Mishra, when he heard that, he became very much alarmed. The Lord is going to go away from here. So he tried to pacify the Lord. He said, it is not that they wanted to get involved in this incident, but out of concern, they just informed you. They didn't want that you, okay, go and speak to the king, but they, out of concern, they just told you. Actually, think about Ramananda Roy. Think about Vanitha Roy. They have dedicated their life for your pleasure. So you just stay here. You'd just be pacified. Then Kashi Mishra approached King Pratap Rudra, and he told that, look, all this incident happened. Now the Lord wants to leave. Then Pratap Rudra, he became even more concerned. He said, I can do anything. Tell Mahaprabhu that all his family, all Bhavananda Roy and all his sons, they are his intimate friends, and they will not, he will not take any action against any of the devotees. Just inform Mahaprabhu just to stay back. Don't go away from Jagannath Puri. Till then, Pradabharudra, he didn't get the mercy of the Lord. So he was very much concerned. He just wanted a meeting with Mahaprabhu. So this is the situation of the great devotees. They just wanted to meet an audience of the Lord. And of course we know Pradabharudra achieved that after a great struggle, and he had this great determination in getting the mercy of the Lord. He tried in all different ways to get the mercy of the Lord. He approached through Advaita Acharya, he approached through Ramananda Roy, he approached through Nityananda Prabhu. Finally, Mahaprabhu gave the mercy. First he gave the mercy to his son, and finally he gave the mercy to King Pradabharudra himself in a hidden fashion. So we can see the devotees of the Lord are trying to get the favor of the Lord through service. So for us, this is our opportunity. We are in the association of the Lord and the devotees, and we have to take our service opportunity very seriously. Then we can see how the mercy is flowing. And we have to see the mercy of the Lord. By Krishna's mercy, we can see that also. That Krishna is being favored. That's why I have got the service. That's why I'm able to do the service properly. So I stop here and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Prabhu. Yeah. Two points are there. Point number one is that in realizing the Brahman effulgence of the Lord, there is no personal connection at all. There is no personality involved at all. Whereas in the partial expansion of Krishna in the form of Paramatma, there is very slight connection. In a personal sense, but it is not complete. It is very tiny in terms of the relation. There is a relation in terms of glorification, but still there is no servitude is not developed. So there is no strong connection. So that is the difference between where there is no impersonal Brahma Jyoti, there is no relation at all, whereas there is a connection in terms of glorification and appreciation, which hasn't matured to servitude. Now, why one can get attracted again to effulgence of the Lord? Because of lack of association of the devotees. So if one has realized Paramatma, and if one gets the association of the devotee, then one can increase that attraction. He can come to the platform of Dasya at least. But if there is no association of the devotee, then one can actually fall back to the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. Yeah.
So it is it possible that they may have a mentality that ultimately this beautiful form is coming from Brahman, and not that Brahman is coming from this beautiful form? So because of which they see this form, and then they get even more attracted to Brahman, that how beautiful forms Brahman they produce. So again, so is that also because when I read some of these books like Paramahamsa Yoga,
Can be. Lack of, we can generally categorize it as there still there is a tattva brahma. There is no, the tattva is not completely clear. Which is definitely, that is a fact for the yogis. It's not complete in itself, yeah. Their knowledge. Yeah, it's a possibility. But on a practical level, that lack of association, it causes that. Yeah, if we have that association, then they understand something higher is there and they can actually proceed towards Bhagavan. So it's not that all the Paramatmavadis will end up as a Brahmavadis. Everyone is going to fall down to the Brahman platform. It's not the case. Yeah. But Prabhupada mentioned in this purport that they are ultimately, so there is a large population falling onto that platform. Yeah. Any other questions or comments? Yes, Mother. Okay, that is Bhagavad Gita. When you see the 5th and the 6th chapter, we can see that 6th chapter gives Yoga Rurukshu and Yoga Arushta, right? There's two stages, two kinds of worship. In the Yoga Rurukshu, they are performing Karma Yoga, practically speaking. So there, they are not necessarily they are worshipping the impersonal Brahma Jyoti. They are already, they understand the objective as Paramatma, but they haven't started that meditation aspect. And in the Yogarutha stage, one is completely fixed in trance, meditating upon the Paramatma feature. So we can see in the 6th chapter that it is not necessary that one has to come to Brahman realization and then to the Paramatma realization. It's not necessary. That is an example from the 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, so that is one. Second, yes, it is possible to be elevated from Brahman directly to Bhagavan. It is possible because we can see that without any Brahman, we are just, we were all karmis, you know, no connection to anything practically, but still we are getting an opportunity to worship Bhagavan. We may not have completely realized, but still we are performing Bhakti Yoga. So from nothing, one can be elevated to Bhakti Yoga. So certainly it is possible to be elevated from Brahman realized platform to Bhakti Yoga. So another verse we can see, you know, from Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param, right? Brahma Buddha Prasannatma Na Shochatina Jagamshadi Sama Sarvesha Buddhesha Mad Bhaktim Labhade Param. So there we can see, yes, from Brahman platform, one can directly go to the Bhagavan platform. It is possible. It's again that association that makes a difference. So there, here for the Kumaras, they got the association of the breeze which was coming from the lotus feet of the Lord, which was carrying the aroma of the Lord as well as that of the Tulasi. So that association, so the Tulasi association came through the breeze. So when they actually smelled, when the nostrils actually went through that, then there was a transformation in the heart of the Kumaras. It's a very interesting kind of association. Usually we say, you know, we see through the ears, but this is through the nose. By just association through the nose, they became the devotees, yeah. Sankshobhanam aksharajushama api chittatanyoho. Sankshobhanam means complete transformation. An agitation and a transformation, chittatanyoho, for the entire existence. And that was the transformation from the Brahman platform to that of the Bhagavan realization. Yeah. Yeah.
We also, here in the Bhagavatam, it is mentioned that you were giving our example that how we have directly become Bhaktas.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, in our previous lifetime, we might have done, we might have, you know, it said it's, we must have taken part in all the Vedas, studied all the Vedas, and all that process, and then only come back. In this case, it would be clear.
It's pretty good, yeah. We have studied all the Vedas, chanted all the mantras, we have gone to all the holy places. So, we have done everything, yeah. It's a pretty good deal. It looks like, okay, we are already very pious, we are very qualified to now approach Bhakti, and Prabhupada came, anyway we got the Bhakti, because we are already qualified, somebody was meant to come and give to us because we were qualified. We can think in that way. So Srila Prabhupada, some devotees asked Srila Prabhupada the same question, right? They asked Prabhupada, so what does that mean, you know? So Prabhupada said, Where is our piety? One has to be pious. Okay, where does that piety come from? Prabhu said, I created your piety. I created your piety. So an acharya, he can create piety for whatever lifetimes of going to all the holy places, chanting all different kind of mantras, performing all the sacrifices, properly executing the varnashram dharma. All those piety can be created by an acharya. So for us, we have to think for our own good. We have to think that we didn't have any piety. And we are actually born in the darkness of ignorance. And by the mercy of the spiritual master, we understood, okay, Krishna is the Lord. Okay, we had to at least, maybe stop eating meat or, go on the wrong things that we were performing. And now we have got the mercy of the Lord. So we had to see, yes, this piety has been created by the acharya, not by us. I don't know, I cannot think of myself as I have done all the piety, gone to all the sacrifices, and by birth I was chanting Krishna's names or completely focused on Paramatma feature now. Only thing next is left is, Krishna's, the Bhagavan feature was left. No, it's not like that. So it is the mercy of the devotees. So the mercy of the devotees can actually create that piety. So we had to see in that way. So that is a very important point now also. After starting our devotional service also very important. Because tatra lavlyam api mulyam ekalam janma kodi sukruteruna labhyate. It's a verse by Rupa Goswami. If you want to make progress in devotional service, this is the essence. Ekalam. Ekalam means exclusive. So Rupa Goswami gives the formula for advancement in devotional service. Now also, currently, we have all our own struggle. So yes, the point here is a very important point that, okay, we cannot get it by Janma Kodi Punya. If we perform Punya, we cannot get that. It's not possible, even if you do for millions of lifetimes. Of course, that's impossible. But, Tatra Lavlyam Api Mulyam Ekalam. Lavlyam means eagerness or greed to do serve Krishna. I want to serve Krishna. Do you ever feel like that? I want to do that service. I want to chant Krishna's names. I want to preach. I want to distribute books. I want to worship the deities. If you feel like that, so that is the real price to get Krishna's mercy. Can you understand? So you see what is the qualification it's mentioned. The qualification for devotional service in Nectar of Devotion. The beginning paragraph in itself, Srila Prabhupada makes a very wonderful statement. Prabhupada says, the real qualification is eagerness. The desire that I want to do devotional service. If we have that, that is the qualification to do devotional service. And a pure devotee can actually give that desire. By their presence, one feels like, I want to do some service for this such and such devotee. So that is the connection. So Srila Prabhupada, when you see Srila Prabhupada's presence in the earth, all the devotees, they felt connected. They were ready to dedicate their life to serve Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhu was directing everyone to Krishna. So see, that eagerness gave them such a rapid advancement in Krishna consciousness. So for us also, we had to think in the same way. I want to serve Krishna. So this is the key point. Yes, it's a very nice point there. Yeah. Exactly. So it's a... Bhaktiya Sanjataya Bhaktiya. It's a very interesting verse from the 11th canto. It's quoted in Madhuri Company. It's very interesting. Where can bhakti come from? Bhaktiya Sanjataya Bhaktiya. That is bhakti. It has two meanings. One meaning is we get bhakti from a devotee only because Krishna doesn't give bhakti. Krishna, one explanation, Nanda Nandana, the gopis explained that, na dadati iti. He won't give. You won't give. He doesn't want to give directly bhakti. But his devotees are so eager to give bhakti. So that is one point. It is coming from the heart of a pure devotee. So if you ask, whole ISKCON preaching, all the ISKCON movement, everything, our devotion, where is it coming from? From the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Very simple. Where is it coming from? It is the heart of Srila Prabhupada. Who else? It's not possible. So bhaktiya sanjadeya bhakti. Another meaning of the bhaktiya sanjadeya bhakti is that from sadhana bhakti, one can get to raga bhakti. That's another meaning. So it is applicable in all respects. That is from nothing to something and from something to advanced bhakti. One second. Mataji has a question. Yeah. So, how to group karmis, jnanis, yogis, and bhaktas, and the devotees, and the kanishta, madhyama, and uttama. So, we need to understand that the first four classifications are according to yoga. That is, karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, and bhakti yoga. Whereas, when we talk about, specifically about kanishta, madhyama, and uttama, it is specifically in relation to bhakti yoga. At the same time, one can have a neophyte in other yogas also, and there can be an advanced in other yogas also. So there can be a classification even in karma yogi as a neophyte, or one who is in a mediocre level, and an advanced one. It is possible in all these yogas, but we cannot compare a kanishta, a neophyte devotee, to even a very advanced jnani or a yogi. It is just like if we have four floors, compare the four floors as four yogas. Say karma yoga, first level, next floor is jnana, next floor is ashtanga, and the fourth floor is bhakti. So a bhakta, a neophyte bhakta, is already on the fourth floor. He's in the basement of the fourth floor, and he's just sitting on the fourth floor, and he's trying to climb up in the fourth floor much higher. Whereas even an advanced jnani, he is still at the top of second floor only. So there is a difference. So when we talk about a madhyama bhakta, to be more specific, when we speak about a kanishta bhakta or a kanishta bhagavat or a madhyama bhagavat or an uttama bhagavat, still they are bhagavat because they are connected to Bhagavan. So they are already on a higher platform. So we cannot compare them to other yoga systems or other yogis. Even though they are advanced, but still they are advanced in their own respective strata. They haven't come to the higher strata of bhakti.
And also the association. Is it not the mercy of the spiritual master and Prabhupada and
yeah.
Krishna? So when we are not getting an association, that means we are not having mercy of
Actually speaking, if we are sincere, we can place ourselves, or we can pray and we can place ourselves in a situation where we can get the association of the devotees. One time, this is a story, the past time, in fact, interesting. Burjan Prabhu was telling that he met one lady from China. He was in China and was speaking to one old lady. So this lady told Burjan Prabhu that she was a devotee. Somehow or other she got connected with the devotee and she became a devotee. And she was in a remote corner of China. So there is no possibility of devotee association. But she felt that, you know, I'm going to get association of the devotees. And she, you know, and finally she said, yeah, by mercy of Krishna, I got the association of the devotees. But she didn't move from there. She was in the same remote corner of China. But she was quite happy. Yeah, now I got the association of the devotees. How? She preached. And she made other devotees. And so that's how she got association. She was very pleased. And she was feeling, you know, I was there. Now I got the association of the devotees. So it could, for some devotees, it could happen that way also. There may not be anyone. Why? Because of the sincere effort Krishna blesses with other devotees. They may be even senior to you. Who knows? Right? We may think, okay, I have preached to someone, so maybe he's junior to me. In terms of etiquette, it may be the true, but in terms of spiritual advancement, may not be. Krishna can send even more advanced Vaishnava as association when we preach. So it is possible in all respects. So Krishna, yes, definitely association of the devotee is mercy of Krishna, and one can seek for that. And Krishna, by mercy of Krishna, one will get it. Krishna reciprocates, so one will get it. So one should, actually, one has to make practical plans, for example. One is already struggling and thinking, you know, yeah, I'll go to the remote corner of Australia and I'll preach. It may not happen. It may not be so easy, right? So one has to see one's circumstance. Maybe that devotee was in a particular circumstance where she couldn't move, but she had such a sincere desire, so she was able to preach and she made devotees. So we had to see in context. Thank you. Yeah. You had a final point? Yeah.
Just to add on that, even Brahma is one of the Mahajans, and even Shukdev Goswami and Uddhava also, they were all initially like, you know, Brahmavadis. They didn't knew the Lord properly until they just the general mass of public around, you know, 99% are impersonalist. They don't know who Lord is, but they are God-fearing. They just know that God is there, but who is God, they don't know.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's right that by only the vision of pure devotee, we can realize that the Lord is a person.
Yeah.
I
don't know about Uddhava, whether he was an impersonalist before, because if from the childhood Uddhava is being glorified. Even in Brihad Bhagavatamrita I was reading recently, in which the Yadavas glorify, they present the exclusive position of Uddhava among the Yadavas as a Mantri Raj. The reason is they glorify Uddhava from his childhood. Uddhava was worshipping the Lord and he was enacting the pastimes of the Lord. From the childhood he was so attached to Krishna. So Uddhava was a devotee. The main instructional point that is mentioned in terms of Uddhava is that the Lord wanted to teach Uddhava Vraja Bhakti. So he sent him to Braj. So that way he wanted to give what is the Vraja Bhakti. So we can see that classification in Brihad Bhagavatamrita also. But it is not that he was an impersonalist and then became a devotee. So I haven't read anything like that.
The Vedas from his guru.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Was bewildered and he lost the vision that Lord is person. He became, you know, Brahmavadi. And later on, Krishna knew his heart and he transformed him to become a pure devotee by sending him to the Raja. By learning bhakti from the gopis.
Okay. Any reference for that, this particular point?
Yeah, Krishna sent the message to the Uddhava, to the
No, those were fine, but I don't know that this particular point that after studying from Brihaspati, he became an impersonalist.
He became puffed up and Krishna doesn't like...
Okay, that is fine,
yes.
But did he become impersonalist? I don't know. I haven't read that because he's a devotee from the childhood because Yadavas glorify Uddhava particularly. From his childhood, he was so attached to Krishna and he was worshipping Krishna. So he must... But yes... Uddhava is addressed as the student of Brihaspati, but you haven't learned this. This is the point. Because who is Brihaspati? He is the Devaguru. You are so educated, and he is attached to Krishna, but he thinks he is the greatest devotee of Krishna. This is the point. Uddhava was thinking, I am the greatest among the Yadavas. I am the greatest devotee of Krishna. He was thinking like that. But it is true because he is always with him, always serving him. Very nice description given in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. How Uddhava is intimately serving Krishna. And all the Yadavas, they are thinking, you know, Krishna sometimes comes to the assembly and sometimes he doesn't. And we are in separation from him. Krishna goes on mission somewhere and he doesn't come. And we don't even know where Krishna is. And Narada Muni, you are telling that we are the most fortunate people? We don't even know. Whereas see Uddhava, he tells Uddhava everything. Even in the confidential missions, Krishna tells Uddhava. So, but then Uddhava started thinking, maybe I am the greatest devotee in that way. So, Krishna wanted to, yes, that's right, Krishna wanted to teach that point, that okay, whatever you have learned from Brihaspati or by my association, you are not the greatest devotee. Therefore, that you have to go to Vraj. So, that was the point. Now, in Brahma also, there is no particular mention about, he was an impersonalist.
When he didn't knew the Lord.
Yeah, he didn't know, but there is no particular mention that he was an impersonalist as such. You know, he knew Brahma Jyoti, there was no mention like that. He didn't know, he was in darkness, he didn't know about anything.
Yeah.
Then the Lord, actually Brahma is a devotee from birth, but the Lord is a pastime in which the Lord is actually giving the process. The Abhidaya is given, where you have to perform austerities in Krishna consciousness and through which one gets the vision of the Lord. And then by the mercy of the Lord, here, what is the mercy of the Lord? That is the service. Okay, now you create, the populate the universes, create the universe. So that is the mercy. The service is the mercy. Yeah, I think. Okay, yes, time is up. We are over time. Thank you very much. Tantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.
somewhere.